I'm always facing decisions and questions that are bigger than my experience and wisdom. I'm in over my head, I'm out of my depth, and I need somebody to help me with those practical issues. It's not always to tell me what to do as much as it's to create space for me to think clearly and then give me some wise reinforcement and wise steps on how to turn a good idea into a real strategy and plan.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Gospel Coach Podcast. Our aim in these podcasts is to empower you, the Gospel Coach, in ongoing ministry of the Gospel through coaching others. We'll share examples of our own learned experiences, as well as invite different guest coaches to share what they are utilizing to advance the Gospel with their coachees around the globe. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., alongside the pioneer of gospel coaching and founder and president of CMM, Dr. Tom Wood. Tom began gospel coaching and creating the cross conversation model more than 15 years ago and began training other gospel coaches in the USA in 2009. And since then, it's spread from Atlanta to the nations around the globe. Not only coaching, but training gospel coach trainers. Be sure to listen to the other amazing conversations and helpful reminders from Season 1. So now we continue with more important topics for your coaching ministry and cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching practices from other regions.
Good to be with you today.
Yeah, it's good to be together. Thank you, Tom. You know, we've got another friend with us today. We want to give him as much time as possible because he's got some great insights into gospel coaching as a pastor. So we have with us today my friend, Dr. Jimmy Agin, who's the senior pastor at InTown Community Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He was a seminary professor and is a noted New Testament scholar, and he's recently attended the Gospel Coaching Foundation's training in Atlanta and is now in one of the facilitated trihort practicums that we do. So it's good to have you with us today, Jimmy.
Great to be here.
Hey, we know it's a busy time for you. So I'm very welcome, and I'm very glad that you spent time joining us in this conversation today. We've got an audience that would love to hear some of the insights that you've had as a pastor of a large church, and I guess two things that I'm most interested in hearing, and I suspect others might be as well. So we don't know your story, and I'd like you to tell a little bit about that. When you get into your story, because you have a very sordid background, but a long career, distinguishing career, and now a pastor of a good sized church here in Atlanta. But I guess the two things that highlight my interaction with you is that you've been coached by Jim Moon yourself as a pastor.
Yep. Big fan of Jim Moon, big fan of gospel coaching. Yeah.
So you've been doing that now. So just to introduce yourself a little bit more, we gave you kind of a brief intro, but a little bit of your background and how you got to be pastor at InTown Community Church.
Yeah. So the quick version would be, you know, I'm a guy who, it's kind of, I consider myself new to Christianity. I've been a Christian for a while, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I became a believer when I was in high school and didn't know anything. So just had to start from scratch from a very little foundation. And so got connected with the Presbyterian Church in America when I was in college. And that launched me into a ministry calling in the PCA, pursued a PhD in New Testament studies after going to Covenant Seminary, and got married along the way to Trisha. We have four kids, and Trisha and I have spent the last 20 plus years in various kinds of ministry. Senior pastor at Clemson Presbyterian Church in Clemson, South Carolina for a season, taught at Erskine Seminary for a season, taught at Covenant Seminary for a longer time, and left Covenant Seminary to accept the call here at InTown, not because I was unhappy as a seminary professor, but I'm a pastor, and my wife is a pastor's wife. And Covenant aims to hire pastor scholars. And one of the risks of doing that is pastors get called to churches. So here we are.
They go back to the church. Yeah. What did you teach it? What was your, you taught it at Covenant Seminary. What classes did you teach?
I taught New Testament courses and I taught preaching classes as well.
I remember a professor of mine when I was in grad school a long time ago. Somebody asked him, he said, so what classes do you teach? He said, I don't teach classes. I teach students.
Yeah.
Well, that was a really good answer. You know, sorry, I didn't prep you beforehand, but so you taught men how to preach. And New Testament, did you say New Testament?
Yeah, one of my assignments was to take our preaching curriculum, which was designed to help people discover the gospel in every part of Scripture and turn it into a real life application for sermons, to take all those tools and say, hey, these are great for preachers, but they're also great for everybody. And sort of broaden that impact. And how do we teach that to men and to women who are never going to be ordained as pastors and are never going to preach a single sermon? How do we take those same treasures of the gospel and good biblical interpretation, Christ-centered communication principles, and Christ-centered application principles? How do we get those to as many people as possible? So that was a really fun learning curve. I don't know that I was the best person to be part of leading that, but that was my assignment. I grew and learned a lot through that.
That's great. And you're published, right? You, I know you've had several articles that have been published, but was there a book in you?
Yeah. So I've written a book on the imitation of Christ in Luke's gospel. And that was the kind of heartbeat of my PhD research and servant leadership and seeing how Jesus models the same kind of servant leadership that he requires of all his disciples, especially leaders in the church, and trying to get at how do we recover that theme? Because in general, my tradition, a Reformed Presbyterian tradition, doesn't talk a whole lot about imitating Christ, and even though the scriptures do. So, learned a lot again through that process as well.
Well, have a good reputation as being somebody who's very Jesus focused and central in the way you communicate and the centrality of the ministry that you've been forming there at InTown after being there. So you're a guy who decided after being, you're a seminary professor, noted author, scholar in the New Testament, a guy teaching other people, and you get in back into the pastorate. You've been a senior pastor, and now you get back into the pastorate, and you decided to get a coach. So tell our audience, because they're the people that primarily listen to this are coaches. So what were some of the reasons why you decided to get a coach?
Yeah, two main reasons. And they were like, I'm a big train fan, so I'm going to use the illustration of two pieces of railroad track paralleling one another. One track was, as soon as I moved to InTown, somehow in God's providence, I got connected with Metro Atlanta Collective, a group that's designed to support and train church planters and those who are doing church revitalization.
So it's a group of pastors from around greater Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they meet monthly.
And one huge component of that monthly meeting is peer coaching. And I really, really benefited from that. And then I came over time to enjoy being in that peer coach role. Second parallel track was our church realized the need to take a deep look at our organizational health. Like there's just some infrastructure that wasn't working well. And it had been a long time since we had taken a deep look at that. And one of the conclusions coming out of that was, hey, we don't know that we're giving Jimmy all the kinds of support that he needs as a leader. So the recommendation coming out of that, which I fully was on board with, was let's get Jimmy some coaching. Well, because of these two parallel tracks, when that was the recommendation, I was like, well, I know where I want to find that coaching. I want to get gospel coaching of the kind that I've been seeing and experiencing through these monthly meetings with Metro Atlanta Collective. That led me to CMM. And Jim Moon and I had a relationship through those monthly meetings. And so when it's time for me to pick a coach, I asked Jim if he'd be willing to take me on.
Yeah, amazing. Not amazing you picked Jim, because Jim's
probably... I was about to say, yeah, amazing. I was amazed.
Like, no, I don't mean it that way.
I'm amazed that he took
you
me
want
on.
Me to coach you? What?
Jim is, okay. Jim is a better coach than I am. He's had so many hours at it now. So Jimmy, what, you know, in 2 minutes, summarize for us. You don't have to go into the details, but what would be one of the key takeaways, like either personally or missionally, maybe was a relational part of your world, that you would tell our audience, the guys that are listening and the women that are listening, that one session or that one idea or that one takeaway was worth every other conversation, every penny we've ever invested in this?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go straight to my big payoff. When people ask me, what's the big deal with gospel coaching? And I boil it down to something pretty simple, which is that as a pastor, a senior pastor especially, I'm always facing decisions and questions that are bigger than my experience and wisdom. I'm in over my head, I'm out of my depth, and I need somebody to help me with those practical issues. It's not always to tell me what to do as much as it's to create space for me to think clearly and then give me some wise reinforcement and wise steps on how to turn a good idea into a real strategy and plan. That's not one of my strengths. So I need that kind of practical help, but I need the gospel more than I need that practical help. And I find a lot of sources for equipping pastors focus on one or the other. They either give me the gospel, but they leave me to figure out the practical steps for myself, and I'm not good at that. Or they give me the practical steps, but it's all in kind of a very pragmatic, Jesus has receded to the background. And what I find gospel coaching does is it uses the day-to-day questions and burdens of being a pastor as a laboratory to say, what's the gospel doing in your heart as an individual and a leader? And that marriage is just gold and rich, and I'll keep coming back to it as much as I can get it.
Amen. So you've experienced then that, you know, you said it there in your words that there's a space that you're given. You know, we use the word, you know, a good coaching conversation gives the coachee margin in their life. They don't have margin. They're so busy. Everybody's so busy. When you have if you have a good coaching conversation, the coach is allowing the coachee to have that margin to think. Like, this is the space in which I can think in. And he's asking the questions that you might not even, like you said, might not have even asked yourself. So Jim, let me ask you, what was, not without giving away the store, right? We don't want to.
Right. This is, you know, a confidential,
like a
relationship
question. So he's at sometimes, but sometimes the questions that the coach he's asking, he's saying, I don't know the answers to. And sometimes, oftentimes, like, I don't know the answers to them either. Right. I mean, he's asking a practical question about how do we scale this ministry out, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, some of our coaches don't have that in their, you know, in their quiver. I mean, they don't have an answer to that. So how do you deal with that?
That was part of why I was amazed that he wanted me to coach him, is because I don't have experience in the kind of church setting that Jimmy's in. And I admitted that. Yeah. Right at the beginning, I haven't done that before. So I'm going to have to ask a lot of questions, and I'm not going to be an expert on the context. So immediately it just sets the expectation that I'm not going to know the answer.
Give me the answer.
I'm not the answer man for Jimmy. But it also just causes me as a coach to pray a lot while I'm coaching and say, Lord, where do you want to go here? So there's the spiritual dependence, that supplication and spirit component is so important. And then just, you know, being with him in the tension, because some of the things that he's had tensions over are personal, some are relational, some are relational within the staff of the church, some are relational outside, and just being there and caring, and then thinking, all right, Jesus, where do you want Jimmy to go? How can I, what do I need to ask? And so we get to the heart pretty quickly.
All those tensions are gone, by the way. So if you're listening and you're on Jimmy's staff, he's not having any tension right now. Those things have been resolved.
To encourage coaches, especially coaches that might be newer at this, the fact that Jim says he doesn't have experience in the kind of church or church role that I'm in, I don't experience that during a coaching session. I've never one time thought, you know, I bet if Jim had pastored a church like this, he'd have a different answer for me right now. That's not my experience at all. So I wouldn't want someone to hear what we just said as, man, I'm not getting the kind of practical help I need because Jim's resume doesn't look exactly like mine. That's not my experience at all. What I need more than anything else is somebody to help me apply the gospel to the reality of my daily world. And Jim knows how, he knows the gospel and he knows what it looks like to put the gospel into practice day by day. And to me, that just carries far more weight than that kind of matching resume approach.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jimmy. That's very kind.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It's important. No, I think the key is the chemistry between coach and coachee, right? When there's good chemistry, you don't have to have identical resumes, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we found over the years that the guys with the bigger resume are really not very good coaches because they're used to telling people what to do and how to get the job done better. And I have found myself over the years, you know, with guys that are just starting out or planning a church, you know, the default mode is to go into, well, let me give you some ideas about how to do this, you know.
CMM is in the church vitality business. They work in four spheres. One of the spheres is with individuals through gospel coaching. CMM's professional team of coaches are deeply invested in the lives of the leaders they coach. They also partner with missionally aligned national and global networks or church ecosystems by providing gospel coach training that produces both indigenous coaches and gospel coaching trainers. If you have not been gospel coached, you are invited to contact them at cmmnet.org and they can connect you with one of their seasoned veterans. If you are part of a church ecosystem, CMM wants you to know that they can help you prepare both coaches and gospel coach trainers so you can raise up the new generation of coaches that are needed to grow healthy, reproducing churches in your network, region, or country. Again, you can contact CMM on their website at cmmnet.org.
Hey, I want to pivot just a little bit because you've had such a great experience in your coaching relationship. But then you decided to go through foundations training and now you're in this tri-board. Like what prompted you to decide, I want to learn more about that?
Well, frankly, it's just that the gospel coaching experience for me on the receiving end has been so life-giving. I want to be able to be that for other people. So I want to be able to take some of these same principles and apply them to my relationships with other pastors at my church, to the rest of our staff at our church, to my elders and deacons and all the other folks I have conversations with. I'm part of a tradition that for whatever reason, maybe it's I wasn't paying attention. I didn't get a whole lot of instruction on how to disciple people one-on-one. And so this is filling in a big gap for me. And especially because I didn't have much time in the ministry as an assistant pastor, was launched pretty quickly into senior pastor roles. And so I just got a big gap where I need help and I lack some skills. I think I know the gospel. I don't always know how to apply it to other people, don't always see how to apply it to myself. And so this just gives me a great trellis to let those like gospel flowers blossom on. And I'm seeing immediate payoff in the way I'm interacting with pastors and staff here at my church. And I'm about halfway through the tri-hort process. So I'm still really new at it.
Yeah. Well, most of the people listening that have been through the training, gone through tri-horts, actually, you know, some of them have not gone through a tri-hort, but they're learning, right? You're learning, learning more in the tri-hort than you did certainly in the foundations class, as good as foundations was with Jim and Tom teaching. What do you see? 2 minutes. What do you see as the future application, either for you or in the church, the broad church of gospel coaching? What do you? I mean, you're in the trench with this thing, so.
Yeah, a couple things come immediately to mind. First is like that, probably the biggest payoff moment I had on the early end of my coaching relationship with Jim was we were wrestling through some very practical dilemma I was in the middle of. I can't even remember now what it was, but Jim kept asking me, "What do you need?" And I would say, "Well, I need this plan to happen by this date." "Yeah, but what do you need?" "Well, I need to make sure I know exactly the steps of the plan." "Yeah, but what do you need?" And he just kept asking, "What do you need?" And eventually he said, "You know what you need the most is for Jesus to show up in all of his power and glory." And I was just floored, like, yeah, of course that's what I need, and how easy it is to forget that. And so, again, it was that kind of marrying of, I did need a good plan to practically address the issue, but I needed to not lose sight of Jesus and his power and his glory and his goodness. And so going forward, that's one thing I want the leaders at our church to experience, is we are not going to gospel talk and forget the practical, but we're also not going to be pragmatic and forget the gospel.
Reminds me of Paul's words in Corinthians, where he says, "But all these things happened to us." He's talking about all the bad stuff that happened to him. He says, "All this stuff happened to us so that we might learn not to rely on ourselves, but on the one who raises the dead, on the resurrected Jesus." Right? So, yeah. Amen. Wow, that's really helpful. Listen, I can't thank you enough for being with us and for sharing some of these insights with us. And I know, you know, you're a busy guy and a busy pastor, and I the Lord's blessing on what you're doing. Such great things happening at your church. And keep trucking along with your trihort. Make sure you tell your trihort facilitator that, you know, you've had the best coaching gospel coaching event.
Anyway, I know who his trihort leader is. He will take that very kindly, won't he, Jimmy?
I will be sure to give David a hard time on your behalf.
Jimmy, thanks so much. Right. And yeah, blessings on you, on your church. And if there's anything that we can do for you at CMM, other than what Jim's already helped you, you be sure to let us know. Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.